I want to talk to you around this idea of check your blind spot. Check your blind spot. I'm going to read a scripture to you, and I'm in my late 40s, so I'm going to put these on. This is one of my favorite verses, and a verse really I pray often. I can't say every day, but I pray often, and something that was just invested in my heart and that I memorized at a young age, and it's found in Psalms 139, and it's this. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Man, we have a lot of anxious thoughts going around. "See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart." I think David prays that and says that because the Bible says that we can't even often know our own heart. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal our heart to us. So Owen is driving now. So many of you know that. And I love it. Tammy's not such a big fan because she's like, "Is he okay? Did he make it?" I was like, "We got Life 360. I don't know what my parents did when I drove. Like, I know how fast they're going, where they're going. For my parents, they just have to hope I got there and called them. But he's driving now. But I did all the driving with him. Tammy went out once. She was like, "Never again. You're doing all the teaching." And so one of the things we learned here in Virginia, there's a road called Route 3. And that was, I just like, let's dive in. Didn't want to get him on the interstate, but wanted to get him on a busy road. And I was teaching him to change lanes. And so when he first started driving, he changed a lane like he was turning a corner. It was like, bam, and we were over there. I was like, "Whoa, okay, bud, we ease into this." But before we ease into it, you've got to check your blind spot. Because if you don't check your blind spot, there could be someone that is outside of your peripheral vision. And if you change lanes not looking at your blind spot, it could be very dangerous and you could cause a wreck. I want to propose the same thing to you, that our blind spots aren't because there's cars around us, but our blind spots are something that is within us. That there's often blind spots in our life, and all of us have them. I have them, you have them. This is why you need community, and you'll have an opportunity in January to get into a small group, right? Because you need some people around you that can go, "This is a blind spot." Because here's the deal, no matter how many goals you set for 2024, and I hope you do, I'm into that. No matter how many new habits, I would propose habits more than goals. No matter how many new habits you create, because your habits will determine your future. And can I just give you a little insight? Every habit is uphill. Every habit's uphill. If you're determined to take the high road, I love what John Maxwell says, the high road is a toll road. It'll cost you something. And you can do all that, but if you have blind spots you're not aware of, then you can run into new goals, change lanes in new directions, and end up in dangerous spots because you didn't check your blind spots. I think this is what David is praying in Psalms 139. He's saying, "God, would you search me and would you check my blind spots? God, there's part of my heart I don't even know. There's part of my thinking that I don't even realize could be corrupt and not in line with the word of God. So God, would you search me? And Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? Just show me, is there offense in me?" I don't think it does any disservice to the text that we could add a list. Is there any offense in me? Is there any arrogance in me? Is there any pride in me? Is there just whatever the list is, God, search me. I want to know. Now, don't ask if you don't want to know. Just go ahead and turn the TV off. Do your online giving. God bless you. Have a wonderful, we'll see you in a week. But man, if you really want to grow and you really want to go to where God wants to take you, you're going to have to check your blind spots. And you need friends and community, that's wonderful. But there's no better blind spot checker than the Holy Spirit. But to do that, I think it'll take three things. To even ask the question. I think sometimes we ask questions we aren't prepared for the answer for. And so to even ask the question, I think it'll take three things. I want to give these to you, and then I want to give you just three areas I thought about that maybe you should ask God to check them in, and you could have a whole nother list, and I think that would be great. Number one, though, it's going to take a posture of humility. The Bible says this in James 4:6, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, this is one of my favorite weekends of the year, y'all, not because we're not in church, but because college bowl games are nonstop. I literally could just eat wings and watch college football all day, every day during this season. It's my favorite time of the year. But this idea of opposing, there's a winner, there's four guys in competition, and usually that come up and they go up to New York and they're going to award what's called the Heisman Trophy. And if you've ever seen the Heisman Trophy, it is a statue of a player and he's got a stiff arm out and he's holding the ball. And it's the highest achievement in all of college football. This is the idea. This is the mental picture in the original language here is God stiff arms the proud. That literally, have you ever had that little cousin or little kid that comes up and is trying to swing at you and you just hold your arm and they can't, their arms aren't long enough? This is the mental image that literally God, think about this. I don't think you want this in your life, that whenever there is pride in our heart, that God literally stiff arm. In other words, he keeps us at arm's length. You know what that means? Is that it limits intimacy. It limits favor. It limits blessing. It limits hearing clearly the voice of God. Why? Because he keeps you at arm's length. Doesn't mean you don't have relationship with him. There just could be distance with him. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but he does what? He pours grace. He gives grace to the humble. If you want to hear the voice of God searching your heart, don't pray it unless you're willing to go, God, I humble myself. Because he may say some things that will cause that flesh to go, ah. And you've got to come with a posture of humility, a heart that says, God, I've got ears to hear. I'm open to hear. I can't say that I've always had that posture. But more often than not, I want to be guilty of having a posture of humility that goes, God, search me. Where do I need growth? Not where does my wife, not where do my kids, not where does my girlfriend, where's my neighbor, where's my boss? I'm sure we all have opinions on their blind spots. We're not talking about them. We're talking about you becoming everything God wants you to be. And if you're going to even ask the question, before you ask it, make sure I have a posture of humility. Number two, I've got to have a willingness to change direction. There's no need to say, God, search me if I'm going to do nothing with it. That's a poor steward. That's a wicked and lazy servant. It's the one that God gave talents to, but they did nothing with them. God calls them wicked and lazy. Not just lazy, calls them wicked. And so don't ask God for direction if you don't want God to speak and you're not willing to follow God. It's not like, God, I'll ask you your opinion, then I'll dial in whether or not I agree with it and willing to do it. No, God, I'm going to listen to what you have to say, and then I'm going to follow through on what you've said. So before, God, you ever speak, I've got a willingness to change direction. I've got a willingness to correct something. In other words, this, I've got a willingness to agree with what you said and then act on that agreement. I've got a willingness. Let me say that again. I've got a willingness to agree with what you said. Here's the deal is oftentimes God is speaking to us. We're unwilling to come into agreement with it. We're unwilling to go, yes, God, you're right. I've got an area of pride in my life. I'm going to come in agreement with that so that I can deal with it. God, yes, I've got an area of arrogance in my life and I'm going to agree with that so that I can deal with it and I'm willing to change in it. When God speaks, my choice is already, I'm going to come into agreement. In other words, I'm not waiting for the contract to be written so I can sign it. I've signed it before it was ever written. This is what Paul meant when he said, I'm a slave of Christ. I'm a bondservant to Christ. I've already made the decision. I have predetermined in my heart and I've pre-decided in my life that whatever God says goes, wherever God says I go, and whatever God says to do, that's what I'm going to do. And you've got to have that posture in your heart. If you go, search me, God, because here's the deal, God will search you. And God will point out the areas of our life that are blind spots that we all have and we all need to grow in. Psalms 51:10 says this, create in me a clean heart. Most of us focus on the clean heart. And it says, oh God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. But it says, God, create in me. In other words, God, I need you to do something in me that I can't do in myself. I need you to create this in me. I'm not naturally prone to this. The flesh wants to pull at me. My own thoughts want to pull at me. My own desires, my own wants, they want to pull at me. But God, I need you to create in me. In other words, creating is changing. It's renewing. It's what Paul talked about in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. God, I want to be transformed. I don't want just little steps of what I'm comfortable with. No, God, I want transformation. That means something completely changes. Here's the deal. If you're the same person at the end of next year that you are at this moment, I think you did something wrong. I think you missed something. If there's not some area that's better, if there's not some area you're stronger in, if there's not some area you're more in love with Jesus in, if there's not more fruit of the Spirit being displayed in your life, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit going, God, show me my blind spot and then create in me. Do this work in me, Holy Spirit. I can't do it by myself. I don't have the strength in my own. I need supernatural divine enablement. I need the grace of God that comes to the humble to create in me something new. And then number three, the courage to take action. Here's what I know. I would bet for the majority of you that you've heard the voice of God and the problem isn't hearing, it's acting. Because that takes courage. It takes courage to act. It takes, can I just say it to you? It takes courage to step out in faith. Why? Because the only tool the enemy really has in your life is fear. It's the only thing he can really hold you back. And that's why the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And so I can have courage to act. Why? Not because I'm strong or because I'm great, but because I have the unconditional, unmerited love of the Father. And so the love of the Father casts out fear in my relationship with him. And so fear no longer has a hold on me, and courage can step in its place. It doesn't mean you won't feel it. There's a difference between feeling it and it holding you. There's a big difference in the two. Every step of faith I've ever taken, I feel fear. I feel fear on a weekly basis, if I'm really honest. I just can't let it hold me. I can't let it get grip on me. I can't let it take over my mind. And the biggest battle of my life is the battle in my mind. And I think that's why I teach on it so much. But I can't, there are times when it gets hold of me and it will hold me back from everything that God wants for me. I've got to feel the fear and do it anyways. I've got to have courage in the middle of it. And the Bible says this. This is a verse I've been holding on to for, I guess, the past 10, 12 weeks. Psalms 27:1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So watch this. He is my light and my salvation. So my direction is clear and my relationship is secure. Light provides illumination to my path. So my direction is clear. That doesn't mean I know the end of the road. It doesn't mean I know the destination. What I do know about a light, though, is it'll illuminate whatever it lights up. And if God has lit it up. I don't know. I'm from Tennessee, guys. If God has illuminated it, then that's the steps he wants me to know about right now. And he is my salvation, so my relationship is secure. And so I have nothing to fear. If my relationship is secure and my path is illuminated as much as God wants to illuminate it, then I don't have anything to fear. The Lord is my light and he is my salvation. And that's why the psalmist asks the next question, whom shall I fear? He goes on to say, the Lord is my stronghold. A stronghold is a place of safety. It's physical safety. It's where you run into when the attack is coming. He's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So I don't have things to fear, and I don't have people to fear. I want you to get that in your heart. Man, it's carried me. I don't have things to fear, and I don't have people to fear. I don't have things to fear. Why? Because the Lord's my light, and he's my salvation. So no matter what life throws at me, he's going to illuminate my path, and I'm secure in my relationship with him. But he's also the stronghold of my life, and so I don't have to be afraid of anybody. Whom shall I fear? So pestilence by day and people by night, neither one I have to fear, because the Lord is my light, and he is my salvation. So it gives me courage to take action. It gives me the courage to go, okay, God, whatever you speak, I'm going to take that step. It may be uncomfortable. It may take time for me to reshape some of my heart. It may take new neural pathways to be created in my mind. It may take new habits. This is where all the habits and things come in. Why? Because I'm going to put habits in my life that help me do whatever God showed me in searching my heart to change me and to mold me into who he wants me to be. That's why spiritual disciplines are so important. That's why starting out the year in prayer is so important. That's why Bible reading is so important. That's why worship is so important. Why are those things so important? Because they're habits that are going to help you reshape your heart as God searches your heart and illuminates things he needs to see. But don't even ask the question if you're not willing to come with a posture of humility. Change in direction. I'm willing to change, God. I've already signed the document. You haven't even written the contract. And I have courage to take action, not because I'm courageous, but because the Lord is my light and my salvation, and he's my stronghold, so I'm good to go. And then let me give you three areas, these three areas that I think are good things to ask. And you may make your own list, and I hope you do. Number one, God, show me blind spots in my words. May this be the year that you speak life and not death. God, where are the blind spots in my words? Where are the blind spots in my worship? I think these all go to motive. If we had an overarching umbrella, it would be motive. God, what are the blind spots in my words? Where do I say things that are unfruitful? The Bible says, let only what is helpful and beneficial for those who will hear that will build them up. Let that come out of your mouth. God, where in my words, are my words manipulative? Are my words self-gratifying? Are my words self-seeking? God, what is it in my words? Where are the blind spot in my words that I need you to show me? And if you ask, I believe the Holy Spirit will show you. I asked that one. Number two, in my worship, where's the blind spot in my worship? Where am I limiting you or limiting me? God, where do I not see where you want to take me deeper into worship? Or maybe this, God, what is the motive in my worship? And then number three, in my work. And I would categorize this here, my work for God, but you could also say the work that you do out in your career, wherever you are. I think it's all worship and it's all ministry. It's all, you're called to be a minister wherever you go. But in my work for God specifically, I challenge you to ask this question. God, am I doing things for you to get something from you? Do I say certain things hoping you'll like me? Do I worship in a certain way hoping you'll bless me? Do I work in a certain way hoping I'll earn favor with you? What is the motive would be the overarching. God, help me see my blind spots, and you can make your own list. And here's the deal. If you check your blind spots, then all the goals, all the direction, all the dreams, all the destiny, I believe God wants all that for you. I'm a big believer in that. But if you know how to check your blind spots, you'll get there with a lot fewer accidents. I'm not saying you won't have some along the way. It's part of life. But I hope you have a lot fewer. Let's read it again. Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. Let's pray together. Right there in your living room, or maybe you're coming back from vacation, you're on the road, wherever you are. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. But maybe the best way to end this year is to move from religion to relationship. It's maybe the greatest decision you'll make is not about blind spots. Maybe the blind spot you have is that you know church, but you don't know Jesus. You know religion, but you've never encountered the Christ. And so I'll give you an opportunity to do that today. And if you've ever been with us before, you know that the reality of humanity is that we've all sinned. The Bible says that. And because of our sin, we've been separated from God, but God never wanted that. So he made a way for you and I to have relationship with Jesus. And the Bible says that our sin, there's a payment for it. It's a penalty. And that's death. That's eternal death. And that's death separated from God in a real place called hell. And there is a real place called heaven, no matter what anybody tells you. And God never wanted it that way. So out of his great love and mercy, he devised a plan to send his only son, Jesus, into the world to die and pay the price for all sin and to have his payment applied to your account. And for your bill to be paid in full, all you have to do is by faith receive his son, Jesus. And so I want to give you the opportunity to do that. The Bible says the way we do that is we confess with our mouth. That's what prayer is. And we believe in our heart. Only you can do that. That God raised Jesus from the dead. So we're going to confess him as Lord, meaning, God, I'm done doing life my way. I'm going to do it your way. You're in control. I'm submitting to your way. And we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the resurrection. And so in just a moment, we're going to pray together. And I want you to join me if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to end this year. I have a blind spot. And it's, I know church, but I don't know Jesus. Then today's your day. This is your moment. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me right there where you are. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.